Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. So good to see you in the house of the Lord. We appreciate you being here. And let's pray the Lord will just touch in our midst and touch in our hearts. And I know we'll be baptized tonight, so I won't preach for about an hour. I'm just joking. Lord willing, who was it? It was a missionary here. He passed through and he said, you know, when Brother Tim preaches an hour, hour and a half, and you know, I got to thinking, I don't know if I've ever preached an hour and a half. And so one day when the weather's right, it's storming outside and nobody wants to leave, I might try to preach an hour and a half. But tonight, just an hour. Now, Acts chapter number 2. I'm just kidding. It is good to see you in the house of the Lord. Acts chapter number 2. I want to read just a few verses. And I got just a burden on my heart just to share. And really, the text of the message is this, the message. That's what I want to preach. I want to preach on the message. Hey. And so, Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 22. It is so good to see each one of you in the house of the Lord. We appreciate you so much being here. And if I start naming people, I'll get in trouble. Amen. But it's so good to see each and every one of you. And we love you and appreciate you. But I do want to mention Brother Charlie and Sister Hilda. Appreciate them so much. Love them and appreciate them. Brother Charlie used to be the chairman of the deacon here and everything. We just love and appreciate them. And I think we're going to put honor where honor's due. Amen. So it's just a joy to have them in the house of the Lord tonight. Acts chapter number 2, verses 22, 23, and 24. I know others may have used to come here too, maybe before I was around. I'm just a young chick around here, amen, this young guy, amen. But I appreciate you so much being a part of the church tonight. Acts chapter number 2, verses number 22, the Bible says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." If I could ask you tonight to lend your ear to what the Spirit of God says. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know, he being delivered by the determining counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it." Let's go to verse number 32. "This Jesus have God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received the Father of the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he has said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, set thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Amen. The Bible says, yeah, verse number 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." And then they gladly received his word.
Yeah.
Now notice they had to receive the word.
Yeah.
Then they was baptized. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you will, God, Father, use us, hide us behind the cross, anoint us, and fill us, we pray. God, I pray you'll take your servant, take your spirit, take your scriptures, and God, I pray, Father, you'll help us today to share the message that Peter shared. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.
When we come to the book of Acts, we know Acts is a book of transition, but we realize we come to the book of Acts, we come to chapter number 2, the very first part of it. We see the moving of the Spirit of God in the church, the Holy Ghost, how that they was all filled, the disciples was all. I like that word all, don't you? They was all filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that the Holy Ghost will fill each and every one of us, amen, and wants to be used of Him. But we see here the means of the message is the Spirit of God. The only reason the message goes out in power is because of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
See, a messenger may be able to speak the words. Somebody can get up here, and I'll tell you, somebody can get up here and be able to speak the king's language and be able to take the word of God and read it a lot better than I can. And they might even be able to declare truths better than I can. But the only one that can really seal truths down in our heart is the Spirit of God. Without the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, without the Spirit of God. And so we see here the Spirit of God was here on this day. Matter of fact, we read on as Peter's fixing to preach, we find that he realized that he's been moved, he's been indwelled, he's been filled by the Spirit of God. And so then we come to not only the means of the message, but all we see the messenger.
Yeah.
And so we see the messenger. The messenger's Peter.
Yeah.
Peter's fixing to preach here, and 3,000 souls are going to get saved. Now that should get exciting, shouldn't it?
Hey,
we get excited if one soul gets saved, there will be 3,000 get saved. Amen? And what a day that was. But now, let's think about Peter, the messenger. Okay, first of all, we start in Peter's life. He's just a fisherman. I kind of like that. I like to fish. He's just a fisherman. But I tell you what, if you've been around fishing places much and around men that fish, I mean, it's a pretty rough crowd, amen, that does it for a living. And so the fishermen, and then also, I mean, they wasn't really rich people that day. And so, if, to be honest with you, the messenger was probably just an average, if I could put it this way, just an average Joe.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm glad God can use anybody.
Yeah.
But here we see Peter as a fisherman. But then you know what happened to Peter? One day he met Jesus.
Amen.
Andrew brought him to Jesus. One day he met Jesus, and guess what happened? He left off his nets and became fishers of men.
Yeah.
Amen. And he began to fish men. Fish for men. Instead of fish in the sea, he began to fish for people in the world. And so we realize that as he goes on in his life, he has seen some great things. He's seen the Lord heal the lame.
Yeah.
He's seen him made the blind to see.
Yep.
I'm telling you, he was even privileged to be in there when Jesus went in and raised that little lady, a little girl up from the dead.
Amen.
And Jairus' daughter, he was able to be there.
Yeah.
And he was there on the mountain transfiguration when Elijah and Moses just appeared. He got so excited, he said, it's good for us to be here.
Yeah.
Amen. We're going to start a building program. Amen. And so, I mean, he got really excited. If you've ever done a building program, you know that the Lord has to be in that thing. Amen. And so, and then he even said, the Lord's getting near to the crucifixion, getting near to Calvary. And you know what he said? He said, Lord, I'll go with you. And I won't betray you. There may be some here who will betray you, but I won't betray you. I'll go with you. I'll die for you. He sounds really good, doesn't he? Now, we know Peter, we're a lot like Peter. Peter had another disease. He had a disease that most people has. It's called the foot and mouth disease. A lot of times he spoke before he thought.
Amen.
Amen. That got him into trouble. But he said, I'll die for you. Matter of fact, when they come to get Jesus, he took out a sword and was going to fight for him.
Yeah.
Chopped one of them's ears off.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, he was ready to go. But this is the same Peter that warmed himself before the fires.
Yeah.
When Jesus Christ was fixing to be crucified, when they was mocking him and scourging him, he was cussing and denying the Lord three times.
Hey.
That's the messenger. But tonight, I want to look at the message. The message. I'm glad God come back to Peter. He said, call my disciples and Peter.
Yeah.
Peter probably already figured he wasn't a disciple no more. He'd already failed the Lord, denied the Lord. I don't want to get stuck right here, but I'm glad we got a God of second chance.
Amen.
I'm glad we got a God that loves us unconditionally.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got a God that forgives us of our sins.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't it wonderful to know we got a God like that?
Yeah.
Wonderful God. And so now, he is standing up with boldness, and he is preaching the gospel. Matter of fact, in Acts 4:13, it said the boldness. We see the boldness of these men, the boldness of Peter. But here in verse number 22, here's the message. And that's really what I want to bring in just the next few minutes, the message. Can I say, first of all, the message was centered on Jesus.
Yeah.
Look at verse number 22. We're going to go right down the Word of God here. Ye men of Israel, hear ye these words, Jesus. No other name given unto whom my men must be saved. I'm telling you that precious, wonderful name, what? Jesus. Let's all say it together. I think it makes the devil mad. Ready? One, two, three. Jesus. Let's say it again. One, two, three. Jesus. Hey, there's just something about that name. Amen. And so the message is centered around Jesus. He said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. Can I say what he's saying is his life has been approved of God. When he's speaking about Jesus, he's speaking about the sinless Lamb of God. He's talking about that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one that took over himself flesh, God incarnated in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He was born of a virgin. Amen. Yeah. I mean, and he lived and walked upon this earth. I think that's the message. And Jesus Christ is the center of the message. He was approved of God. Well, I'm glad that you and I know Jesus. John, Jesus said in the book of John, John chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. I tell you, you're not come by any way. You're not come by the baptism of the pool. We're going to baptize tonight, but they're not going to get saved tonight because of being baptized.
Amen.
Amen. They're being baptized because they've been saved. Amen. And I'll deal with that in just a minute. But I tell you, we're realizing that the message is about Jesus. If we're not watching this day and time we live in, you know what the church has started doing? The church's message is about the programs that they have.
Yeah.
The church's message is about the building. The church message might be about they got some churches have got good pastors that can preach. They might be really excited about the pastor. Hey, they might be excited about the song service, about the singer, and about the people that stands on the stage and proclaims the Word of God through song. They might be excited about all those things. And all those are well and good. I like what Brother Trevor said tonight. Hey, let us sing and let it prepare your souls for the message. Amen.
Yeah.
And so that's what singing does. And thank God for singing. It stirs a heart. Hey, but I wouldn't give you a dime for following somebody that shouts during the singing and sleeps during the preaching.
Amen. Yeah.
I watched some of y'all. Some of y'all shouted. I'm looking at you. I wouldn't, you know, I'm telling you what. Something about the Word of God. And God chose the foolishness of preaching.
Hey.
Amen. I tell you, thank God for preaching in the Spirit of God.
Amen. Yeah.
We see Peter here. He centers his message on Jesus.
Yes, amen.
On Jesus. Approved of God. The sinless Lamb of God. What a message. I can't even take time tonight to begin to preach a message about Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. He's been approved of God. He's been ordained by God.
Amen.
He's been sent by God.
Yeah.
Amen. He's been sanctified by God. I mean, there's so much we could say about Jesus.
Yeah.
He's the rose of Sharon.
Yeah.
He's a bright morning star. We could just talk about Jesus tonight. Thank God for that wonderful man that came to this earth. And he's the God-man.
Yeah.
He did not take off his deity, but he took on humanity. Deity was rolled in humanity. And he walked down here. He thirsted. He was hungry. He did all the different things down here upon this earth. You know what he knows? He knows what it feels like to be rejected.
Yeah.
He knows what it feels like to be hungry. He knows what it feels like to be stuck. He was nailed to a cross. He knows what it feels like to be mistreated.
Yeah.
He knows everything you and I felt. He's a high priest that can be touched. He can be touched with our infirmities.
Yeah.
He was tempted in all points, but yet without sin.
Yeah.
Amen. He was a sinless Lamb. He was approved of God.
Yeah.
But I say his life was approved of God. Look at verse number 23. His death was approved to God. Him being delivered by the determined counsel. Now that's what man was doing. Man had took the God-man. Amen. Now, Y'all do remember they tried to come and take him and something did happen. Amen. Judas Iscariot denied him.
Yeah.
Kissed the door of heaven and went to hell.
Yeah.
How sad that would be. How sad that would be. He knew what it was for the friend, a friend, to betray him. Friend betrays me with a kiss. But they came and they took Jesus. That's what man was doing. But notice what the other was. Foreordained by God.
Yeah.
Before time ever was. Before the sun ever shined. Before the stars ever glowed. Before the moon ever reflected the light of the sun. Before there was ever a tree. Before there was ever time. Before there was ever man.
Yeah.
Before there was ever... Jesus Christ was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. God Almighty had preordained this day. Oh, what a day. Amen. He preordained this day to be the day that Jesus Christ would give His life on Calvary. They came to take Him. Man came to take God. Man held God. Man put God on the cross. Man nailed His hands to the cross, hung Him on an old rugged cross. But that wasn't man doing that. Yeah, I know it was man doing that, and man rejecting, and the nation of Israel rejecting Him. But it was preordained by God. Look what it says. Hey, we're talking about we're looking at the Word of God. And foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands has crucified and slain. Oh, we see it was His message. The center was on Jesus. It was on His life. It was on His death. This is what got them all in trouble, especially Paul later on. This last piece of the message. Whom God hath raised up. Resurrection morning. On that third and glorious day, Jesus Christ walked out of that grave. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Peter said He's alive. He lives. Amen. He's alive. May I say, He was approved of God in His life. He was approved of God in His death. And He was approved of God by the resurrection. Hey, death could not hold Him. The Bible said, loose the pains of death. Because it was not possible that He should be holding of it. He could not see corruption. It goes on there. He could not see corruption, my friend. Why? Because there was no sin in Him. He was the perfect Lamb of God. I tell you, the message was about Jesus. And when the message is about Jesus, you know what the message is? It's about the gospel. What did Corinthians tell us the gospel was? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel.
Amen.
And we might want to add things to the gospel. We might want to do all kinds. But that's the gospel in a nutshell. That's it. What Jesus Christ did for you and I. Jesus Christ came to this world and died on an old rugged cross that you and I can be born again, be saved by the marvelous grace of God.
Amen.
And here tonight, if you're not saved, you know what you're rejecting? You're not rejecting the Baptist faith.
No.
You're not rejecting other faiths that may be represented here tonight. You're not rejecting man's religion. But when you reject the gospel, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But if you're a non-believer, and you don't believe tonight, then you've rejected the gospel.
Yes.
And you rejected Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. You rejected Him. The message is centered. I'm telling you, Peter is preaching about Jesus. Hey, there's no greater text you can take. There's no greater person you can... Hey, the message is about Jesus tonight.
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you what the message is centered on Jesus. But look at the message conviction. Look at verse number 37. When the message was preached, it brought conviction. You know, it wasn't a strange thing. Matter of fact, they just had the... I don't know if they're going on or not, but they had the Burlington Revival. Have you heard about the Burlington Revival last year? All those souls getting saved. I don't know how many hundred people got saved. I know they just had a meeting last week, the Burlington Revival, again, tent meeting. And I know if I read it correctly, they had like 70-something saved on Friday night. Probably had 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people there. I don't know, but a lot of people there. You know what I had some friends that went to the Burlington Revival. I know the man that preaches it. I don't know him. We're not friends or nothing. We've met several times. But he's just a young preacher, and God's using him, and I thank God for that. And you know, I was talking to a preacher that went. He said, "Preacher, I went to the Burlington Revival last year." He went. When they went on, how many weeks did they go? I mean, it was 14, 18 weeks. So it was a long time they went in revival. And people was getting saved every night. People was buying airline tickets for their loved ones and having them to come in and just sit in the service. Yeah. You'll just come. I'll pay your wages to come in. And a lot of those people would get saved. Yeah. You know what we found out? He said, "I went there," and he said, "I was expecting some great emotional movement." He said, "You know, they got up and sung songs just like we sang." And he said, "There was a little bit of praise of the Lord, not really a whole lot at all." He said, "A lot less than I thought there would be." And then he said, "Then the preacher got up there." He said he preached such a simple gospel message. He said, "I was looking for something to pull from, you know." I mean, and he said, and as far as feeling the movement of it, and he said, then people, when they give the invitation, people just started standing up, walking down the aisle, and people started dealing with them. Different preachers and different pastors' wives would, and I mean, one-on-one, they would deal with them. We're not talking about no group, raise your hand. No, I'm talking about one-on-one, they'd taken about, and they was dealing with, and they was getting saved by the grace of God.
Hey.
He said, "Hey, was it no, how, he said, you know how you just have your mind to be just an overwhelming something that's come." And he said, "You know what, I was driving home, we just drove there and drove back, and good little ways back home." He said, "This is what I got to thinking. You know why people got saved?" He said, "We've been preaching it and talking about it all the time. If you'll just preach the gospel." And what happened is, so many people came there that was lost. Yeah. And when lost people hears the gospel, guess what happens? Lost people get saved.
Yeah.
A lot of times us as pastors and preachers, you know, we're shooting into the same rabbit hole every Sunday. Amen. Yeah. Shooting into that same rabbit hole every Sunday. Now, that might just be one lost person in the church or two. But I mean, he was preaching probably, there's probably no doubt. When that night that preacher was there, he said they had a raised hand. There was 1,100 people that was there that night that had never been there the whole time. And you probably figured at least half of those was probably lost people that people had brought to come. If you get lost people under the gospel, guess what happened? People get saved.
Amen.
That's what we need to realize. We just need to preach the gospel. We just need to preach Jesus. Amen. And guess what happened? Here's what happened. Then we see the message convicts the heart. Look at verse number 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts." What's that pricking? That pricking is the moving of the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
"They was pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" Amen. And so the message is centered on Jesus. The message will bring conviction to the heart, but the message will convert the sinners. Look what it says in verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, repent." Now this repentance here is a personal thing.
Yes.
Amen. It's for each one to repent. That's a 180. Turn away from your sins. It's not a 360.
Yeah.
It's a 180. Turning away from your sins. Then he said this about, "and be baptized." Now this is the only presentation you'll see it like this, salvation presented in the Word of God like this form. And so why is it presented like this? Well, you've got to realize, you remember, when you interpret the Word of God, the contents and they're surrounded of that all has to be considered. Those that are listening, that one that is preaching, and what the context of this message is. Who's he preaching to? He's preaching to the lost house of Israel.
Yeah.
He's preaching to the Jews.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And guess what? There's one that already come preaching. His name was John the Baptist.
Yeah.
You know what he preached? Repent.
Yeah.
Or perish. Repent. And you know who he declared? He seen him coming. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world."
Yeah.
And so they would not identify with John's repentance. They would not identify. The Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. And so, you know what? That repentance was personal, but that baptism was public.
Yeah.
They was going. So what they was doing? Actually, they was really trusting Jesus, repenting, and asking Jesus to save them. But they needed to make a public declaration of that. They need to be baptized to make a declaration of that. Not that the baptism waters will wash away their sins. As we go on into the epistles, we see clearly that the water does nothing. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And then he talks about, so the baptism was an exercise in the public faith. And that's tonight. That's what's happening tonight. They're going to be baptized. And you know why they're going to be baptized? Because they've already been saved.
Yeah.
They've already repented and cried out to God and asked God to save them. They already know they're on the way to heaven. They already know they've been given the gift of the Spirit of God. Amen. The Bible says they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They receive that. You know what the Holy Ghost is? He's the third person of the Godhead.
Yeah.
Amen. He's part of the Trinity. He's a person.
Yeah.
He's not an it. He's a person.
Amen.
And he's given to the church a gift. And we're baptized by one Spirit into the family of God.
Amen.
Amen. Guess what? You get all that Spirit at one time. I was given a gift when I got married. It was my wife. I didn't just one day her hair showed up and the next day. No. I got all of her. Amen. And I got all the Holy Ghost. Now, I need feeling. I need a movement of the Spirit of God. I need those things in my life. Yes, I do.
Yes, sir.
I know I need the feeling of the Spirit. I need God to use me and God to work through me. But we see here, that here is a promise, for the promise is unto you and your children. And then he goes on to say this, the Lord of God shall call. The Lord of God shall call. Who's he called? Well, go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. What's pretty easy? Who's the world? The whole world.
Yeah.
God loved all humanity. He chose all of us. Amen. The message converts. Now see this and I'm done. We see the means, the Spirit of God, and Peter speaking. We see the messenger and we see the message. But I want to go back to the message just for a second. What would cause a man that was scared to death in the upper room for fear of the Jews, that had denied Christ when he was being crucified, had went off a fishing even after he had seen the resurrected Lord, went away to cause him to stand up and boldly confess Christ? Well, Jesus met him when he was out there fishing. He said, have any meat?
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't caught any fish all night. Been like some of us went fishing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, cast your net on the other side. And they caught so many fish, couldn't hardly bring them all in. And when they got to the shore, Peter said, that's the Lord. When he got to the shore, he already had fish prepared for him. But he sits down beside Peter. He said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. You know what happened? This one had denied him. This one had been fearful. Fell totally, completely in love with Jesus.
Amen.
And chose to do that God had. And he had boldness to preach. Why? Because he had seen and ate with and fell in love with the risen Savior.
Hey.
Amen.
You know what? I can imagine. You know what? Brother Steve, if it was just a faux, if it was just a fake, Brother Hub, if it was just something that was phony and they was just, you know, trying to build a false religion, I believe after those first persecutions, that first beating or that second beating, I'm telling you what, I'm not going to die for something I know is fake.
Yeah.
I'm not going to die for something I know is not real. Amen? Right?
Yeah.
They had seen a resurrected Savior. They had seen Jesus. I wonder tonight, you and I can't see Him by our fleshly eyes. We can't behold Him and hold Him and touch Him. like Thomas. But you know what we can do tonight by the eyes of faith? We can believe the record that's been written about him.
Hey.
We can believe the record.
Yes.
And I wonder tonight, have you believed the record? Have you placed Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight? Is he your Lord? He's your Savior? We're standing, our heads are bowed.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this evening for your goodness. God, it's good to see that you're still working and showing your power in our midst and the salvation of souls. We thank you for that. Father, I pray that you'd bless these that have been baptized this evening. May they dedicate themselves to serving you and doing your will in their lives. Bless each one of our church family. Bless all those that are visiting this evening. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.